Kush.
On behalf of our beloved Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Swami Prabhupada, we are very happy to welcome all of you today to Sri Radha Gopinath's Sunday Festival. During one of Jananivas Prabhu's recent visits here, he was explaining how the eternal abode of the Lord in the spiritual world, it is like one unlimited size family, where everyone is related to one another intimately on the basis of their relationship with Krishna. The relationship of Krishna is that of surrendering the heart in love. And Krishna's reciprocation by surrendering his heart in love, very uniquely and personally with each and every one of his parts and parcels. This is the power of the Absolute Truth. Krishna is Vibhu. We are Anu. Krishna is inconceivably great. And each living entity is an infinitesimal particle of Krishna's greatness. How wonderful it is, even an infinitesimal particle of Krishna's greatness is unlimitedly great due to the relationship with Krishna. So due to that love for Krishna, there is intimate love amongst all living beings for each other. Because the nature of love, real love, is you love those who your loved one loves, because that will naturally make the object of our love pleased with us. Krishna loves every living being. Aham bija pratapita, because every living being is intimately a part of Krishna. He is the seed-giving father, and Sri Radharani is the mother of all living beings. And their love is causeless and eternal. So therefore, you cannot truly love God without loving every living being as part of God. And especially those who have, by their own free will, accepted an eternal life of servitorship. So the spiritual world is one big family, where everyone respects and loves one another for the purpose of giving pleasure to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So here at Radha Gopinath Temple, every Sunday, we come together as one family. Our mother and father, are expecting us to come every Sunday so that they can see us. And then the question is, what do they see? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, do not try to see Krishna, but try to live and speak in such a way that Krishna is happy to see you. So in one sense, we come for darshan, to see the beautiful form of the Lord. The eternal form of the Lord that is eternally existing in the spiritual world descends into this world in such a way to facilitate the utilization of our mind, our body, and our senses in their loving service. Krishna says in Gita, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, for him I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. Krishna, through his all-pervading energies, Parashya Shaktir Vivadaiva Shuyate, is everywhere. In all spiritual and material worlds, nothing exists except the energy of the Absolute Truth, Janma, Yasha, Yata. But still, who is the source of that energy? Wherever there is energy, we understand there must be an energetic source. And that is Krishna, Bhagavan. But we cannot see Krishna in our conditioned state. So Krishna is so kind that with the blessings and authority of great souls, according to scriptural principles, he appears in the holy form of the deities so that we can develop a personal relationship with Krishna. It is not stone or wood or metal. Krishna actually manifests within the deity to reciprocate with our love. If Krishna is unlimited, why he cannot appear where he wishes to appear to reciprocate with our love? Srila Prabhupada gives example that if you put a letter in any box, it will not reach the destination that it is addressed for. But if you put it in the authorized post box, then it will reach. So Krishna has authorized how, when he will appear. What is the nature of his form according to the scriptures, and how that worship is to be conducted according to very sacred principles, and who is to perform the ceremony of calling the Lord's present within the Archamurti. When all of these things are done properly, and we actually worship the Lord in a spirit of humility and devotion to serve and to please, then yes, 100% definitely Krishna accepts our offerings. When Krishna accepts our offerings, our attachment and our love awakens by his mercy. So the great acharyas, since time immemorial, have created beautiful temples. In North India, in South India, so many wonderful temples where they placed the deity of the Supreme Lord. And in some places, hundreds and thousands of people come every day to offer their worship and their prayers. But the acharyas didn't just place deities in the temple. They created temples that were spiritual educational institutions, where people would come to associate with holy people who were presenting knowledge of who is Krishna, who are we, what is our relationship with Krishna, what is our relationship with this material world, what is our relationship with each other on the eternal spiritual platform, and how to practically live every day of our life in harmony with those truths. We learn that Krishna is the subject and we are the objects. Krishna is Purusha, the supreme proprietor, the supreme controller, and the supreme enjoyer. And we are Prakriti. We are meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. But our constitutional nature is, to the degree we are enjoyed by Krishna, to that degree we feel the natural, eternal bliss of the soul. We all have practical experience that our history of attempts to enjoy material nature never really satisfies the heart. Because the body, which is the vehicle of enjoyment, and the objects of the senses are both temporary and limited. Ultimately, our desire to control, to possess, and to enjoy creates frustration. Old age, disease, and death will come. But when we learn the science, the art of living in a spirit of being the enjoyed, das, 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 anudas, the servant of the servant of the servant, in such a way that we live so that Krishna is enjoying us. So when we come on Sunday before the deity, we should be thinking, what does Krishna see? What have I done? What have I said? How is my life holy? How is my life actually in a spirit of humility and devotion? How am I striving to become purified by chanting His names, by living honestly with integrity? And when Krishna sees the devotees gathered together with sincerity, with harmony, to glorify the holy names and glories of the Lord. Why does Krishna want us to glorify? Why Radha Gopinath feels such great pleasure when we chant their glories? They are Atmaram. They are eternally self-satisfied. You and me, when someone glorifies us, we're happy because it nourishes the false ego. Yes, I am very great. But Krishna has no false ego. Because the heart is empty, because the heart is deplete of real satisfaction, we need physical and subtle pleasures to somehow or other just find some meaning and purpose in our life. But Krishna and Radharani, they do not need anything. They are pleased when we glorify them, because it is good for us. Because our eternal nature is to love them, and their glorification awakens our natural attachment, attraction, and love. apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudramapa prabhishanti yadvat.
Bhagavad Gita says, when we attain that type of experience of spiritual pleasure in loving Krishna, it is like a vast ocean. Ocean of satisfaction. But this ocean has no shores and no bottom. It is unlimited. And to drown in that ocean is the ultimate perfection of life. Bhakti rasamrita sindhu.
Rivers come into the ocean. In the rainy season they are very wide. In the dry season very small. But they do not disturb the ocean because the ocean is so full in and of itself. In the same way, when there is the satisfaction of prema bhakti, which the scriptures describe, that brahmananda, the ecstasy derived of merging into the oneness of Brahman, which is the light, the energy of the Lord, that pleasure is not even a particle of a drop compared to the unlimited ocean of love, of pleasure that one derives from prema bhakti, or reciprocal love with the supreme all-attractive object of everyone's love, Sri Krishna. So the rivers and the streams, they cannot disturb the ocean because of its vast existence. However, a little pond, anything you do to the pond can agitate it terribly. If you put water in it, if you take water out of it, it makes a big difference. So any of the satisfactions we derive in this world can easily be very much disturbed by the circumstances around us. But when there is pure Krishna consciousness, even while living in this world, we become transcendental. Why? Param drisva nivartate, because we are experiencing something higher. Srila Prabhupada told us when he was living in Calcutta during World War II, the Japanese Air Force was dropping bombs on Calcutta. And the air raids were sounding, and everybody, screaming, go to the... They made bomb shelters. People were running to their basements and running to the bomb shelters, and Prabhupada was cooking puris for Krishna. Avai, come, run to the camp, to the bomb shelters. The Japanese are bombing us, don't you hear? Everyone, it's commotion. People were frantic. They were running for their lives. They were scattering. They were trying to get their best possessions and take it with them. And Srila Prabhupada was calmly just, let me make my offering to Lord Krishna and cook puris. Krishna has come in the form of these bombs. He was remembering the universal form. Because he was seeing Krishna. He was loving Krishna. He was feeling such inner satisfaction. Maro birako bijo icha tohar. The Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Krishna, if you want, you can kill me. If you want, you can protect me. As you like. I'm your servant in all circumstances. When we're tasting the nectar of the bliss of service, we become transcendental to our surroundings. Even though we have to deal with our surroundings, we have to accommodate the needs of what we are supposed to do according to time, place, and circumstance. But internally, We are deep in that ocean of spiritual happiness. That is Krishna consciousness. That is the purpose of living within this material world. It is the essence and goal of life. So when we come before Krishna, our motivation should not be, Krishna, why? Why have you done like this to me? And Krishna, please do this, please do that for me. Prahlad Maharaj explained that approaching God, asking for material benedictions, is like doing business with God. I will chant your name, I will do some seva, but you must do this for me. The greatest prayer is the prayer of begging, Krishna, engage me in your service. Our beloved acharyas have actually translated, not exactly translated, but they have explained the consciousness in which we should chant the holy names. When we chant the Maha Mantra, the spirit of our chanting should be, O Hare, divine energy of the Lord, Shrimati Radharani. It is only by your mercy, by your kindness, that anyone can touch this vast ocean of devotional service. O Krishna, you are all attractive. You are the supreme reservoir of all pleasure, Rama. Please engage me in your eternal loving service. How much Krishna showers his infinite spiritual blessings upon us when we sincerely, in this spirit, chant the holy name. Today, by Srila Prabhupada's great kindness, we have been given the blessed fortune of the association of some of his very dear servants. I will speak briefly because there's a children's program today, so we must end this program early. We can give a series of lectures just to introduce each one of these celebrated personalities. But what to do? We only have some time limits today. We have Her Grace Urmila Devi Mataji. She is one of the figureheads of devoted and stable devotional service within our movement. Her natural spiritual qualities have very much inspired and enlivened devotees all over the world. Her complete dedication to her sadhana and to the service she's rendering has been a great strength to many, many devotees throughout the world. For years and years, she has been committed, outstandingly committed, to creating a school system
for the children of devotees that stands on the foundation of spiritual integrity and giving the most comprehensive education to the children and simultaneously imbibing within their hearts the connection of Krishna to every subject. Jiva Goswami wrote a very, very celebrated book, Harinamamrita Vyakarana, in which he teaches Sanskrit, but he taught Sanskrit exactly the same way Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Sanskrit after he was initiated by Ishwarapuri. That every syllable, every word, every grammatical rule and regulation is Krishna. Harivo. How to relate everything to Krishna, because that is truth, that is knowledge. The fact is, nothing is separated from Krishna. Ignorance means to separate anything from Krishna. And knowledge is to understand what is my relationship with Krishna, what is everyone's relationship with Krishna, and what is everything's relationship with Krishna. So proper education means to learn chemistry and science and mathematics and geography and biology and history and all of these other subjects in relationship to truth. So she has been very devotedly working on this project for many years. And she has been especially invited by Krishna Chandra Prabhu to help us to organize Gopal's garden in a very proper way and to help create standards and curriculum in which we could really raise our children to be really first-class citizens within our society, where they are motivated not by greed and pride but by humility and compassion. And she stands for these principles herself. So let us very enthusiastically welcome her to Sri Radha Gopal. Haribo. And the other guests have been here before. You all know Purna Chandra Prabhu. He has a very steady, wonderful Vaishnava. Very dear friend of mine. He has been preaching, especially in the area of the countries in Russia and surrounding Russia over the last several years. He's very deeply immersed in studying Prabhupada's books. In fact, the GBC created a Brahminical Shastric Council to assist the GBC in actually doing research through the scriptures and through our Vaishnava traditions to help make solutions to the inevitable problems that come in the world today. And they have appointed him the chairman of the Shastric Council for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And he has written several nice books and many tapes. And we're very happy that he is here. Let us welcome Purna Chandra Prabhu. We have Vijabuja. Yes? Did I pronounce properly? Dvija Bhuja. Dvibhuja. Dvibhuja. Harivo. Dvibhuja Prabhu. Please forgive me. I'm illiterate to some. He has been serving since about 1971 or 1972, Srila Prabhupada's mission at New Talavan and in other places in America. Very wonderful, wonderful devotee. Can you stand up for me? Everyone, please let us welcome him to Srila Prabhupada. He was also His Grace Rasnitai Prabhu. He is a disciple of Srila Jaipatak Swami Maharaj from New Talavan. And his service is agriculture, which Prabhupada put much emphasis upon in his farm communities. And also we have Ishweshwar. How do you pronounce? Ishweshwar Prabhu and wife Teja Gorangi Mataji from Yugoslavia, disciples of His Holiness Jaipatak Maharaj. Can you stand up? Stand up, please. Let us welcome all of these wonderful devotees to Sri Radha Gopinath. And of course, Radha Gopinath Temple's very beloved head pujari has come again to evaluate how we are serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, it would be my greatest pleasure in life to just spend the rest of eternity introducing Jananivas Prabhu. Jananivas Prabhu is just the embodiment of gentle humility, dedication, renunciation, and complete surrender. Our international headquarters in Sridhar Mayapur, in my opinion, it has stood through many floods and storms over the years because of the presence of Jananivas Prabhu and his dear brother Pankajangari Prabhu. Whatever happens, no one has ever heard them criticize anyone year after year after year. They love to chant, they love to dance, they love to serve the deities, they love to serve the devotees. They just have such love and appreciation for everyone and everywhere. He's really embodiment of the principles of Lord Chaitanya, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikshashtameka Purusha Purana, of renunciation, knowledge, and genuine devotion. He was very, very busy. Devotees were calling him for weeks to come here. And he said, "I cannot come. There's too many pressures and too many obligations and responsibilities upon me. I cannot come." But I called him and told him that the whole congregation of Radha Gopinath Temple, we will all fast until death if you do not come. Yes? And I said, "And you will be responsible to Sri Sri Radha Madhava for the death of thousands of people if you do not come." So he came by his causeless mercy. I asked him to come even for one day. I said, "Just come for one day. All expenses paid." And he said,
I will come for 20 days. So let us very enthusiastically welcome His Grace, Srila Jananivas Prabhu. We'd like to ask Urmila Mataji to please enlighten us.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachari Nivasesis and Nivadi Paskachari Sitarani. So I'd like to know if there's anybody here who is completely 100% satisfied with their body and their whole situation in this world. No changes. Show of hands, anybody? Somebody must be completely satisfied. You like everything the way your body is. Everything in your family is perfect. Your upbringing, your house. No? Krishna tells us in the Bhagavad Gita, yayatam mam prapadyante, that as we surrender unto Him, He rewards us accordingly. This body, this situation we have in this life, is a result of our own desires. It's as if we placed an order with a catalog. Nowadays people do more on the internet. But you place an order. I want this, I want this, I want this. And that's what we got. So we might consider that maybe we should change our desires. Because the Lord will fulfill whatever we desire. Nitya nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vididati kaman. He has been fulfilling the desires of everyone since the beginning of time. So as Prabhupada explains in commenting on the verse 4:11 that Krishna reciprocates, He says, if we want fruitive activities, then the Lord will reward us accordingly. Now, how does this work exactly? Well, we have desires, and we have thoughts. And those desires and thoughts, the feelings, the thoughts, they constitute what is called our subtle body, mind, intelligence, and ego. And these thoughts have form. Just like sometimes there are people that can see ghosts, right? Certain people, sensitive people that can see ghosts. Or sometimes even a ghost is very powerful and becomes visible to an ordinary person. Now generally the ghost looks like the person's external body looked like before death, isn't it? Even the same hair and like that. But what is a ghost made up? If made up of mind, intelligence, and ego, it's made up of thoughts and feelings. In fact, right now, our subtle body has a form, and that form is very much like that of our gross body. In fact, our gross body was designed, as Krishna explains, one gets a set of senses grouped around the mind. So this body we have, it's fitting our thoughts and desires. It fits it perfectly. Just like if you go to buy some clothing. Now, generally in America, we just buy ready-made. But here, actually, I was thinking how in America, if you're very, very wealthy, then you can shop in Saks Fifth Avenue and Lord and Taylor. You ever heard of these stores? So in these stores, you get what's called a personal shopper. No extra charge. And they walk around the store with you, and they pick out exactly what you want, and then you go to a special room with the tailor, and the tailor measures you, and they do some alteration. But only the wealthiest people go to this store. I was thinking in India, everybody can do this. People are so anxious to imitate the West. But here, anybody can just walk into a shop, and they'll tailor-make clothes for you. Actually, I met one lady. I was with my mother recently when she passed away, and one lady there, one of the nurses, I said, "Where are you from?" She says, "Oh, I'm from Delhi." And she told me her story. She said, "I was living in India, and I was very happy, but I was thinking, I want to go to USA. I want to go to USA. And my husband said, you will not like it there. But if you really want to go, we can go. So I came, and I was already an RN, and I had to learn it all over again because in the United States, they wouldn't accept my credentials. So I had to study another 4 years, very young children, find people to take care of my children. And then they would make me work 2 shifts because the other nurse didn't show up. And when I go back to India and see my family, I think, oh, the ladies are living so nicely. They have servants, and here I am working so hard. I thought they are living much better in India. She said, then I thought, when my children are grown up, then I'll go back. She said, but now the children have grown up in the West, and they don't want to leave, so now I am stuck. Anyway, so just like here in India, you have these tailors. And you can have everything tailored exactly, right? They will take your measurements. Perfect fit. So Maya Devi, she is also measuring what are our desires. And she gives us a body that is a perfect fit. Exactly tailored to what we want. And you could say, but I don't want this. But that is just like a person breaks some law and then they get a fine. So they can say, oh, I don't want the fine. I just wanted to break the law. But it doesn't work that way. If you want to break the law, that means you want the fine. But actually, we do want. We're just not understanding the consequences of our own desires. And to fulfill our desires, there's 8,400,000 different kinds of bodies. Just like a shop that had 8,400,000 different kinds of clothes. And according to your particular desire, because not all desires can be fulfilled in any one body. When I was a little child, I used to want to fly. But I can't fly in this body. So then I'd have to be a bird or a bat or a flying squirrel or something like that. So therefore, there must be death. There must be a change of body. That the desires that we have to go through different types of conditioning and different kinds of circumstance and different kinds of body. And generally, like Maharaj was saying, people come to God and they really, what we are asking for is, please give me another material body. And Prabhupada tells that story. There was this woman walking with a heavy load of sticks on her head. And she was in a lonely place, and she stumbled, and the sticks fell on the ground. And so she was saying, Lord, help me! Lord, help me! And Krishna appeared. I mean, have you ever thought that if Radha Gopinath were to speak to you, actually Prabhupada says they are eager to speak to us, we're just not eager to hear. But if they were to speak to you and say, what do you want? What would you ask for? So there was God. He said, you called me? Yes? Often people, they say, oh, God. And he says, yes? She said, please help me put the sticks back on my head. And Prabhupada also talks about the people that take passengers across the river, and sometimes in a very shallow river, they use a boat that has a big stick. They're just pushing the boat along the bottom of the river. And sometimes where it's very shallow, they may walk by the edge of the river and pull the boat themselves. So this one man like that, he's very poor, and he's just pulling the boat in the river. And he was praying to God, "Please, Lord, I want you to put mattresses on the bottom of the river so I won't hurt my feet when I'm pulling my boat." So usually we are praying to God, please give me a nice, happy family. Please give me good health. Please give me riches. Please give me power. Please give me a good grade on my exam. But in order to have all these things, one has to have a material body. So we are saying, please simply keep me going on in this material world. Then there are those that become a little intelligent and think, really, this world is only suffering. Whatever I have here, if we think for a minute, if you can think about all the things that you've wanted in your life, so out of all those things you've ever wanted, how many of them have you not achieved at all? Personally, I think of this huge mountain. And then of the things you wanted that you did achieve, you got what you wanted, how many of those things have disappointed you? Like the woman wants to marry a man who is a great hero, and it turns out he just leaves his dirty socks on the floor. How many things have we wanted? We got them and we said, you know, this is not really what I wanted. It doesn't work quite right. Then of all the things that you wanted, think of the things you wanted, you got them, and they're perfect. Exactly what you wanted. And it completely satisfies you. How many of those things are temporary? All of them. And temporary means, just like I had this water, okay? So I'm thirsty, I'm going to drink some water. And there's somebody here, he thinks it's his water, and he's about to grab it out of my hands, and while I'm drinking the water, I'm afraid he's going to take it. Can I enjoy the water? Is it possible? So the things that give us the most pleasure here, while we are enjoying them, while we are in the process of enjoying them, at the height of our enjoyment of them, as you're putting the gulab jamun in your mouth, and as the taste, you know, at any moment, it can be taken out of your mouth. Right? And it will be. So is there any pleasure here? Everything you want, either you don't get it, or you get it and you don't like it, or you get it and you're going to lose it. Is there anything else? Anything you get and it's perfect and you get to keep? So an intelligent person understands dukalayam shashvatam anityam asukham, no happiness, and if you think there's happiness, temporary. So intelligent person, bahunam janmanam ante yanamam prapadyante, decides, let me get out. Finish this business of looking for happiness in this world. And then they go to God, please get me out. But it's an interesting thing, just to want to get out. One must have a place one wants to go. Right? Sometimes we get out of a very difficult situation, but then we're in a worse situation. Just like this lady I met, she thought she was suffering in Delhi and she's suffering more in New Jersey. She thought in America everybody's happy. Also, I took a trip to Trinidad in the Caribbean. And in Trinidad, everybody wants to go to New York. I said, in New York there are signs, go to the Caribbean. So people think, let me get out of the material world, but where to go? Just stop everything. The problem is that we are living beings. We have desires. We cannot just stop everything. Like you go to some relaxing place on vacation, you're just swimming and sitting in the sun and talking with your friends. How long can you stay like that? After a while, you want to do something. Even the people in the world who are very wealthy, they still do something. Bill Gates even goes to work. I don't know why, but you know, he's still working. Or they do some charity work, some volunteer work. How long can you sit just in your room staring at the wall doing nothing? But if you go to Krishna for that, he'll say, okay. All right. You can just have nothingness. You can just merge in the Brahman and forget that you are anything. Just be in the light and the peace. But that will not satisfy. Because above that, Krishna says, Brahmano hi pratistaham amritasya vyastucha shaspatasya tacharamasya sukasya ikantikasticha. Yes, it's the basis of ultimate happiness, but I am the basis of that Brahman. So those who are even more intelligent, manushyanam sahasreshu kachchid yatati siddhaye yatitam api siddhanam kashtimam veti tatvataha. Out of all those who've achieved this perfection, no more material life, one, Vedi Tatvataha, knows Krishna. And one thinks, I don't want to just stop material life. I want to start spiritual life. I want to be in a place where when my desires are fulfilled, I will be actually satisfied. Here my desires are fulfilled and I am frustrated. So one who's intelligent says, Krishna, I want to go to that place. I want to enter into that realm. And even there, the Lord is reciprocating with each of us individually. So if one in that realm simply wants to worship the Lord with awe and reverence, like people worship movie stars, they just have a picture of the movie star, or they are waiting. Sometimes people are waiting outside in the cold and rain, 20, 24 hours, just to see some movie star, some famous politician, just to get a piece of their clothing, right? Just to touch them. So one can worship Krishna like that. One can become a tree, or some grass, a flower, water. In the whole spiritual world, Chintamani Prakara Sadmashu. Chinta means conscious. So everything there in the spiritual world is conscious. It's a living being. And they are living beings that want to just see the Lord. Oh, I am seeing Krishna. Krishna is seeing me. And Krishna looks at every tree every day. He touches every blade of grass every day. As he glances with love at the vines, they burst into bloom in reciprocation of his glance. But then one may want to reciprocate with the Lord in practical service. One may want to bathe the Lord. Say, why does the Lord want to bathe? Pavitram paramam bhavam. He's the most pure. Just for fun. Krishna doesn't get dirty. Actually, in the heavenly planets even, they don't get dirty. You all know the story of Nal and Damayante? You know that story? And Damayante wanted to marry Nal, but the demigods also wanted to marry Damayante. So they thought they'd be very clever. And three of them, I can't remember which ones, Indra, Varuna, some, anyway, they disguised themselves as Nal because they can change their form. So she went to her Svayamvar and there was four Nals. And then one of her friends told her, you can find who is the earthly man because he'll be sweating. The demigods, they don't sweat. They don't need toilets and septic systems and more high class body. So that's just a demigod body. So what to speak of God? So if he appears to perspire, that is for his pleasure. It's not that he needs some kind of cooling system and it's uncomfortable and like that. He needs to have a fan because otherwise he's all sticky with perspiration. So they are bathing Krishna They are smearing his bodies with oil and making garlands for Krishna. One can be Krishna's servant. And if one desires to serve the Lord in that way, he will reciprocate as master. Or one can want to be the Lord's friend. Actually, of course, Suridam Sarvabhutanam, the Lord is everyone's friend. And Krishna tells Arjuna, he says, I'm speaking this. Bhaktosime Sakas Eti. You are my devotee, you are also my friend. So we should all want to be Krishna's friend. But this idea of friendship is one of equality. The friends of the Lord, they forget that he's the Lord. Just like you may be friends with somebody that's very famous or very wealthy, but if you're close friends, you forget that in your friendship. You're laughing and joking. So the friends of Krishna, they even challenge him and they say, I'll beat you in wrestling. We are giving our food to Krishna. They're stealing Krishna's food. You don't know where your lunch is, haha, you know. And they're taking a bite of their samosa that their mother has made, and after they're taking a bite of it, they're giving it to Krishna. Such intimate friends. Would we do that? First we eat the food, then we give it? No. But that close friendship. Or one can see God as their son. Like Mother Yasoda is thinking, if I don't feed Krishna, then he'll starve. Oh, Krishna, I hope you're going to bed nicely. Maybe you'll be hungry at night. Would you like something to eat before you go to bed? And she's following him to the forest. Are you going to be all right? Stay by Balaram. Make sure Balaram takes care of you. Don't step on any thorns. Don't come home with scratches. Every day you're coming home with scratches. You have to be more careful. Or one can even be the intimate lover of the Lord, like the gopis who give everything to Krishna. And however one wants to see Krishna, in whatever relationship, Lord Kapila Dev explains, the Lord takes the form that one desires. He becomes whatever the devotee wants. And like Maharaj was saying, not because he's in need, he's Atmarama Aptikama. He's fully satisfied. But still he enjoys that loving reciprocation with his devotee. And when one gives everything to him, right? Sarvadharma Prachaja, Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja, when we give him everything, what does he give us? Everything. He gives us his very self. He gives us his very self. The cowherd boys are sitting around eating, and the cows wander off. And they're, oh, where's the cows? Where's the cows? And the Lord says, you stay eating. I'll go get them. Just imagine if you're sitting with your Guru Maharaj, you're sitting with your mother or father, and someone has wandered off. Would you allow your superior to go and get? No. But Krishna says, I'll go get them. You don't disturb your meal. So Krishna gives himself to the devotee. He is driving Arjuna's chariot. Arjuna says, Senayor Bayor Majay, and Krishna says, yes, I will do that. Even though I am Achyutya, I never fail. He also never fails to reciprocate with the love of his devotees. So that is what Krishna is offering. He is offering himself. He is offering an eternal world, full of desire trees, full of complete freedom, full of ever-increasing spiritual bliss. And all we have to do is genuinely, through our actions, through our thoughts, through our hearts, is desire it. We have to desire it more than anything else. And if we have that intense desire for that, then that is what the Lord will give us. This whole process of Krishna consciousness is simply to inculcate in us this ever-increasing desire till it becomes all-encompassing, and so we will not take anything else. We simply want to love Krishna. So we should think, whatever I'm wanting now, that is what Krishna will give me. He's very kind. He'll give me whatever I want. Therefore, if I am intelligent, what should I want? Just like Vamandev, he went before Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj at that time was ruling the whole universe. And Bali said, I'll give you whatever you want. And Vamandev said, I want 3 steps of land according to my own measurement. And he was just a little, Vamana means little, dwarf. So of course he had a plan. And he was trying to instruct Bali that one should be satisfied materially with the bare minimum. But also Bali Maharaj gave some very good instruction. He said, if you come to ask something of a very powerful person, you should ask something so great that you'll never again have to ask anyone for anything. So we are coming before the all-powerful Lord who can grant and is granting everything. Therefore, we should be asking him, and not just with our words, we ask with also with our life. We ask from the heart. Not that we can say, Krishna, yes, I want to love you, and then we go and do something that shows that we really have other desires. But with sincerity, with integrity, to come and ask him for the best thing that will give us full and complete satisfaction forever. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Om Agyananta Milandasya Gyananjanan Shalakya Takshura Militanjina Tasmai Sri Gurvina. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garara Shivashari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you very much, Radhanath Maharaj, for inviting me here. It's true, they called me many times on the telephone to come, and I always managed to say no. Then Radhanath Maharaj, his voice came through the other end, and I could not say no. I was forcibly attracted by his voice and his loving affection for me. Actually, everybody's, they're looking for love. They want love and they want to be loved. And ultimately ends with Krishna. But before that, Prabhupada said, to love Krishna, first you should love Krishna's paraphernalia, Krishna's abode, Krishna's devotees. Then you can actually learn to love God. So it's very wonderful to have such loving association as Radhanath Maharaj, who freely distributes Radha Gopinathji's affection to everyone. I've seen. He's equally affectionate to everyone, all of you here. So, we are very fortunate to have him as our leader and guide and friend. He spoke this morning of giving everyone Srila Prabhupada's love for Radha Gopinath. And Radhanath Maharaj is actually giving us Srila Prabhupada's love for Radha Gopinathji. And it's fact, what would we do without Radha Gopinath? If we said that everybody has to come to Mangalarti, get up at, what time we have, 5 o'clock, It wouldn't be so inspiring if Radha Gopinath was there. Even though the chanting of Hare Krishna is the principal means in Kali Yuga, still it wouldn't be very inspiring just to, everybody's got to come to the temple and chant Hare Krishna Japa. But when they say, oh, we wake up in the morning, Radha Gopinath, let's go and see Radha Gopinath, we become very much inspired to see. And we can dance, we can chant, we can dress the deities, we can make garlands, so many nice services, we can cook, and we can also think of the Radha Gopinath throughout the day. So, it's a very wonderful system that Srila Prabhupada has given to us. According to Parampara, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's a Yuga avatar, he came to propagate the Yuga Dharma, chanting Hare Krishna. But we see even himself, every morning he would go to see Jagannath, he would go to talk to Gopinathji. That was his regular sadhana. And he instructed even the Mahabhagavatas, the Nitya Siddhas, Rupa Goswami and etc. You have deities, you worship deities. Establish deity worship. Because he knew it was so important for the people of Kali Yuga. It's much for easier for us to relate to Krishna in his form as he appears before us than simply the sound vibration. Although the sound vibration is the principal means in Kali Yuga. So Srila Prabhupada did this wherever he went. And even in Mayapur, the very first time Prabhupada came, he brought the small Radha Madhava deities from, they were in Calcutta at that time. Prabhupada was given three sets of deities when he was in Vrindavan by one Mr. Dalmia. He was a life member and he gave three sets of deities. And Prabhupada sent one to Boston. I don't know their names. I've never seen them, but Gopi Janabalava. Radha Gopi Balaba. And one to Berkeley. One set to Berkeley. You know their names? Berkeley. It's one set of small deities like Radha Madhava. Berkeley, USA. Yeah. You know the name? And the other set the Prabhupada kept with him. And he was traveling around with the third set. And at that time he was making his first tour with his Western disciples. It was probably 1970. And he was traveling around Allahabad, Banaras, Gorakhpur, different places. And they would put the deities on the table whenever he got somewhere and have a program. Prabhupada would preach to everyone, Krishna consciousness. And it was in Gorakhpur that Prabhupada first chanted that song, Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. And if you look in that songbook, the ISKCON songbook, which the translation, it tells how when Prabhupada was chanting this, then he went in internal ecstasy for some time. And after some time he came external and he said, this is a picture of Vrindavan, this song. He said, here is Radha Madhava is here, Jasoda is here, the Jamuna is here, Govardhan is, this is a picture of Vrindavan. And that appears to be the official initiation of Radha Madhava at that time. And from that time on, he started to chant that song. Whenever he gave class, it became a standard thing. Even today, it's a standard. Even a few minutes ago, we heard that he's chanting the Jaya Radha Madhava. And Prabhupada first chanted it to those deities. And he was carrying them around. And when they got to Calcutta, he said, they can stop here now. And then in 1971, then we purchased the 3 acres of land in Mayapur. And we had the first Gaur Purnima there. That was the beginning of 1972. And Prabhupada took Radha Madhava. He said, they can go to Mayapur. And there was a big program. I mean, it was very big. About 70 devotees came, mostly from America at that time. It was Krishna consciousness was more developed in America and not so much in other countries at that time. So mostly from America. But it was a big, big thing for, especially in Mayapur, because it was a village and thousands of people were coming for that festival, mostly village people, but suddenly, probably they never, many of them had never seen Western people before. And it was 70. Prabhupada's dancing white elephants, and they were jumping up and down and dancing, chanting Hare Krishna. It was a big, big success. At that time also, Prabhupada laid the foundation for the Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir, the Adbhut Mandir that has been prophesied by Nityananda Prabhu. Then when the program finished, everybody was leaving and they was going back. And Srila Prabhupada said, where is Radha Madhava? And they said, they packed them up in the trunk, Srila Prabhupada, they're going back to Calcutta. He said, no, now they're here, they should stay. They shouldn't leave Mayapur. I said, but Prabhupada, there's nowhere for them to stay. And he said, where are the devotees staying? They said, well, this is little bhajan kutir, little straw hut. He said, okay, they can stay there also. So they were just staying in the little bhajan kutir on the little table with a little cloth around them. And like that, slowly they developed the whole project there. But Prabhupada, even though there was no facility there at that time, still he wanted that the deities should stay there. There was no running water, there was no electricity. Prabhupada didn't mind at all. He did exactly the same schedule he did when he was there, with no electricity, no running water, no facilities. He did in, you know, Los Angeles or New York, where he had all facilities. He would get up at night, light his lantern to translate, put the mosquito net up because there was millions of mosquitoes. Completely irrelevant to him where he was. His same schedule, same morning walk, same class, everything exactly the same. And he didn't mind at all to live in that situation. And Radha Madhava there, waiting for the new temple. I remember one time when some owl or bowl, he came with his ekatanga, dang, dang, and he was saying, Om Jai Jagadish Hare, Om Jai Jagadish Hare, Om Shiva Hare, Om Jai. We could hear him. I was sitting in Bhajan Kutir with Prabhupada, and he just come into the, in front of the deities. And Prabhupada said, you know that song? I said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. He said, it's Mayavadi song. He said, you go and stop him immediately. So even Prabhupada established, even in that primitive-like condition, still he was really very strict. He was very strict about who was going to come. In fact, he said, in the new temple, he said, we should make prohibition that everybody who comes in the temple, they must wear a dhoti. And he said, anybody who comes to that temple, they must pay obeisances. Otherwise they cannot come in. And no Mayavadi can come in. No, it's one of the 64 items of worship. One has to protect the deity. Well, they think the deity is just a material element, so we have to protect from the protecting the deity. So then eventually Radha Madhava went to the Lotus building. We built that first building there in 1973. Radha Madhava moved to the Lotus building, and upstairs was a kitchen. And then so they were inside the building on the ground floor at that time. So we built a little dome on the different floors above so you couldn't walk across. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada said, He said, my co-brothers will criticize when they see this. And sure enough, they did. Why you put the deities on the ground floor and people are living on the top floor? They told Prabhupada, some people are saying like this, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, actually they are putting their foot on Krishna every day. They put their foot on Krishna at every step. Because he is within every atom, they are putting their foot on him every day. So how can they complain? He said, anyway, it is out of love only. We had this building and Radha Madhava living that Bajrang Kutir. Out of love only we put them here. But later we are going to build the most beautiful temple for them. They will go there. So, that beautiful temple was predicted by Nityananda Prabhu. And also it's been predicted by Jayadeva Goswami, who appeared several hundred years before Lord Chaitanya. In one of his books, I haven't read it, but someone has told me who translated the book. It's called Chandrika. And he speaks of actually the Mayapur city. And he speaks of this wonderful temple and everything that Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And he speaks actually of the deities are there. And do you know the name of those deities he mentions? Yes, Radha Madhava. This was Jayadeva Goswami several hundred years before. So we can see how Prabhupada, it wasn't just he had some deities, let's take some Mayapur because they were near Calcutta. It's all very, he knew it was Radha Madhava. And if he gave them the name, he knew there'll be the deities in that astonishing temple. One day, sometime in the future. So like this, Krishna is so kind to come in this form that we can see, we can touch, we can appreciate, we can smell the fragrance of the flowers and everything like that. And we can develop so much attraction for Krishna. And we're chanting Hare Krishna also, but generally, as Mahaprabhu said, I have no attraction for chanting Hare Krishna. But one day we're going to realize that that feeling, that affection I have for Radha Gopinath, I feel it's the same as when I'm chanting Hare Krishna. Huh? I feel it's the same affection. It's nice, we can develop affection for the deity. Then later on, we will actually realize we can, that the Hare Krishna is none different than Radha Gopinath. We can transfer that affection to the holy name. It will be there automatically. We'll get attraction through the holy name by being attracted to it. It's by simply serving and worshipping Radha Gopinath. So this is the special benediction of these, all these different types of nice devotional service centered around the deities. And we are chanting Hare Krishna and there is a process. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said there's no hard and fast rule for chanting Hare Krishna. You can chant anywhere. But the acharyas do give us specific instructions that we should try to implement. And they say we should first concentrate on the sound vibration, just be absorbed in the sound vibration. The definition of japa is given in the Rig Veda, is that the mind should be within the mantra, and the mantra should be within the mind when you're doing japa. Still there is no hard and fast rule for chanting, but there are some guidelines. It means you must be completely absorbed. And Srila Prabhupada also said one time when someone asked him, what should we be thinking when we're chanting Hare Krishna? Prabhupada said, there's no question of mind. There's no question of thinking. You just absorb your consciousness in the sound vibrations. It's only the tongue and the ears and your beats, your fingers are moving the beats, that's all. So these are the guidelines that we get. And by chanting and developing affection towards a deity, and we'll actually feel that affection, and we'll actually begin to feel the presence of Krishna. And we'll say, yes, this is Radha Gopinath. What we feel for Radha Gopinath, this is Radha Gopinath. I can feel that same presence. You begin to feel the presence of Krishna. Just like you feel the presence of someone who's close to you. In close proximity, you feel the presence of someone you love. We don't have to ask anything or say anything, but just by being in the presence of someone you love, you can feel they're sitting there. And this you will feel when you're chanting Hare Krishna, that, oh, Krishna is by my side. I'm feeling his presence sitting by my side, just like my best friend. You'll actually experience this. And then you will actually see the form of Krishna, your Ishtadeva, your worshipful Lord. He will manifest himself because of your affection that you have developed for him. So his progression. We sing Sri Radhika Madhava Yara Paramadhujulila Guna Rupa Nanam. So Nam, Rupa, Lila, Guna, then Lila. So this progression, our acharyas are telling, this is the process to follow. Prabhupada said, first master the art of hearing, then you can see Krishna, you can see the pastimes of, you can think of the pastimes of Krishna. When you've mastered the art of hearing, so it's a progression, that first you will feel the presence of Krishna by your side, then you will actually, Krishna will manifest his form, then you'll be able to understand the qualities of Krishna. You'll be able to smell the fragrance of Krishna's body. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to hear Krishna's sweet words. Then after that, you will actually can perceive the pastimes of Krishna. So this is the progression of chanting Hare Krishna. So as far as possible, we should always try to absorb our consciousness in the sound vibration. We can always think of the Lord or think of pastimes like that, but it's not really recommended by our acharyas, because by doing that, you may have a picture or something, or you put a picture in your mind, I want to see the form of the Lord while I'm chanting Hare Krishna. But it actually implies a little bit of lack of faith in the holy name, which is one of the offenses against chanting the holy name. You should have complete faith in the chanting. Because if you do, the holy name is Krishna, he can manifest the form you want to see. Do we have that faith? Or should we take a picture, or we think of put the picture in, you know, we project our own picture in our mind? It indicates a little bit of lack of faith. Because the name itself can reveal his, he can feel, reveal that form. So we should have complete faith that Krishna can do that. He can reveal his qualities, he can reveal his pastimes. It's not necessary to meditate all day on the pastimes of Krishna, which is also a bona fide process. Meditate on Krishna's pastimes throughout the day. But we see our acharyas, they're not recommending to do that. It's like jumping over. They're saying, no, first you concentrate. Prabhupada said, master the art of hearing. So we should have complete faith in the holy name, complete faith that Krishna's name is non-different than Krishna. And he will manifest his presence, Nam. And we'll understand Krishna's presence. That is non-realization. It's non-different than Krishna. Then after that, Rupa, then Guna, then Lila. So the deity helps us so much in getting this attraction and affection for Krishna in the form of his holy name. So this is the kindness of Srila Prabhupada, that he's given this whole process of devotional service. It's so incredible what Srila Prabhupada did, how he condensed all those teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Rupa Goswami, all the acharyas. This, what Radhanath Maharaj was saying, how Prabhupada gave the meaning of Hare Krishna, what is the meaning of that? There are many translations of the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra. Many, many translations. Some translated in the mood of Shakaras, some translated it can be in the mood of Madhujaras. Many, many translations. But Prabhupada's explanation is so unique. It's so all encompasses everything. When he says it means, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, O Radharani, O Krishna, please engage me in the service of Krishna. Krishna, please engage me in your service. And if you take all the other translations from all the other acharyas, they all fit into that one instruction of Prabhupada. Please engage me in your service. Because some are trying to engage in Krishna's service in a conjugal relationship, some in parental relationship, some as the four Lord Ramchandra, or so many forms of the Lord. But Prabhupada's translation, it contains all of those, all the different acharyas since time immemorial, you see, are contained in Prabhupada's definition of chanting Hare Krishna. O Lord, please engage me in your service. It's such a Prabhupada's just so expert at getting all the acharyas' conclusions and giving them in a little nutshell. So conclusive. We're so lucky to have Srila Prabhupada as our guide and leader in this age of Kali Yuga. That's why Prabhupada's saying that. Because he has condensed, he knows. He's saying you chant Hare Krishna, follow these four principles, and perform devotional service favorably. You can go back to Godhead in one lifetime. Nobody else ever does that, said that. I was just thinking the other morning when I woke up that there's a very famous verse in Srimad Bhagavatam with Shukadeva Goswami. I can't remember the verse, but it ends with Purna Kritya Punja, something like that. That these cowherd boys, they're playing with Krishna. They're not ordinary boys. It's only after heaps and heaps and heaps of pious activities from previous births, so many, that they've been allowed to play with Krishna, take a birth and play with Krishna. Heaps and heaps of pious, not ordinary. You know what Prabhupada's saying? That you chant Hare Krishna, follow these principles. At the end of this life, you can take your birth in the universe where Krishna is performing his pastimes. You can play with Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami is saying, after many hundreds of births, heaps and heaps of pious activities, Prabhupada's coming to the Western countries. We didn't even know what piety was. We didn't even do one pious activity. And Prabhupada's saying, chant Hare Krishna, follow these principles. You can go back to Godhead in one lifetime. That means simply the faith Prabhupada had in this mantra. He knew that even the lowest class of people, if they take to it seriously in one lifetime by chanting, they've surpassed all the pious activities you can perform for birth after birth after birth. And Prabhupada said quite confidently, you can go back to Godhead. He went to the worst place. Excuse me. He's a New Yorker. He went to the worst place in the world. He started his movement there. And said, I'll take you back to Godhead in one lifetime. Confirmed. So Prabhupada had that confidence in Bombay. I can't remember what year it was. And there was a big... they had so much trouble with the Harijans in Bombay. They were loitering everywhere. They were building bastis everywhere. It was a big, big problem for the government. And a government official was talking to Prabhupada. And he said, "We have a big problem here." He said, "What to do with 1 million Harijans?" Prabhupada said, "Send them to Mayapur. We will engage them in Krishna service. We have a big project there." But the Harijans, they are considered like a low class. This is in India. We're even lower from a lower class, because they've taken their birth in India, it's pretty pious. But still, they're kind of the low class of India. It's the Harijans. But Prabhupada still had complete confidence. "I can take 1 million low class people from your Bombay city and give them devotional service in India." He said, some people thought Prabhupada was joking. He said, "No. But they have to follow the principles we have. They follow the principles and they chant Hare Krishna and they do the work. They will transform." He's not seeing them as Harijans. He's seeing the servants of Krishna. And if they take the process that Krishna has given, they also will become completely purified and go back to Godhead in one lifetime. This is Prabhupada. Nobody had this vision like that. Nobody had such faith like Prabhupada. Not Maharaj. I am proof of it. Because I was from the lowest background. That we're able to sit here today and discuss the blessing of the Supreme Personality of God. It has come down to give to everyone. We're able to be with all the devotees from the Purna Bhumi. All these devotees are all born because of pious activities. So pious. And we're from Maladesh. The further away you get from Bharatvasha, the more degraded the people come. That is a statement of Shastra. So we're coming from there, very far away, we're degraded.
New York's farther away than London.
He said New York's farther away than London. New York's a planet on its own, actually. It's a separate planet. Prabhupada said there is a gateway on this earth that goes down to the lower planetary system, to the hellish planets. A lot of people say this is, excuse me, so a lot of people say that's New York. Oh, I'm sorry. So Jesse, Prabhupada's own words. And you have two New Yorkers sitting here amongst you, very, very pious people, sharing the same facility. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was given to everyone. Whether you're from low class position, a high class position, Lord Chaitanya is not considering. He's not considering he's not qualified or he is qualified. He's not considering. Even if you're a highly qualified Brahmana, Lord Chaitanya is still not considering. He's saying, "Please take this, I'm giving the Hare Krishna mantra. You please take Krishna. I'm giving Krishna. You please take." From that point, Lord Chaitanya will judge. And the person born after so many pious activities, taking his birth in India or taking the birth in a pious Brahmana family, the topmost situation, and the person born in London, I give New York a break. From Lord Chaitanya's angle of vision, that here it is now. Who wants to take it? Who will take it? Who will get that Krishna prema? That Goloka prema dana Harinam Sankirtan. I'm giving the Harinam Sankirtan. Who will take it and receive the Goloka prema first? The person in the high class Brahmana family or the person from outcast family? Who will take first? The person who is sincere, he will take first. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is given equally to everyone. It's only your sincerity He's not considering your previous qualification, your present qualification. He's not considering at all. He's just giving. And the speed that you will take that Goloka Prema, that is up to the individual. Lord Chaitanya is not considering. Previously, consideration was qualification. Throughout the history of the universe, the millions of avatars that are coming, the qualification must be there. You've got to be liberated. Otherwise, how you can approach Krishna in his hundreds and limited millions of avatars? You have to be liberated. There is qualification. You cannot approach him without being liberated. In this incarnation, he's not considering that you have that qualification. He's not. Jagai madhai papi chilo hari namurune tari shakshi madhai jagai madhai. They are the evidence. He's not considering. He's so kind. So it's just up to the individual's sincerity, how they take it. They'll get it. They'll get it first. So Prabhupada understood, condensed it, and gave it to us. And so much conviction Prabhupada had. And he did it. He had the conviction, and he gave it. And he proved it. And now all over the world, people are chanting Hare Krishna. And following nicely, they're all going to go back to Godhead. It's a miracle. It's not available another time in any time of the universe. It's not available like this. So how much we are indebted to Srila Prabhupada. And how much we're indebted also to his faithful followers who are also taking such nice care of us. Giving us such nice temples, giving us such nice guidance. We owe everything to Srila Prabhupada and his sincere followers. Srila is anxious to take the dust of their lotus feet. Sisi Gonitai ki te. Sisi Radha Gopinathu ki te. Sri Radhana Maharaj ki te. Samaveda Bhaktivrinda ki te. Nitai go Premanandi. Thank you very much.
Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtan Bhagavat Shravana Mathura Vasa Sri Mutira Shadhaya Sevana. These are the five most potent items of devotional service. Out of all 64 Angas of Bhakti, which Rupa Goswami has mentioned in his Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu, these five are the most potent. Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtan Bhagavat Shravan, hearing Bhagavat, Muturavas, living in the holy place, and Sri Mutira Shadhaya Sevana, with faith serving the deities, Radha Gopinath. And we see that Srila Prabhupada has installed or organized our organization mainly with these five things. All based around the deity seva and puja, hearing Bhagavatam and chanting the holy name, and associating with devotees who are doing these things. And he told us that we should try to come to the holy dhams as much as possible, once a year or something like this. So Prabhupada has given all of these things, and these five items spark spontaneous devotion to the Lord from the heart. These are the most potent practices in bhakti that one can perform. Duru adbhuta viryesmin. It says, Rupa Goswami has written that these are the five most potent. Shadha dure stu panchike. Even if the no faith, Shadha Dure Stupanchaki, these five will give most potent effect. Yatcha svapa pisambande. Even if there's just a little connection with them, sadhiya bhava janmane. If someone is sadhiyam, if he is intelligent, if he has spiritual intelligence, bhava janmane, then bhava is born in that person. A person can obtain ecstatic devotion very quickly, even without faith in these items. If he just has a small connection, yatra svalpo pisambande, just some small connection with these five items. If he has spiritual intelligence, sadhiyam bhavanyam. So sadhiyam means a person who is offenseless. To be offenseless, one must be humble. So His Holiness Radhanath Swami has expounded greatly upon this in the morning. If we are sadhiyam, then and only then can these items, bhavajanmane, can bring bhava. Otherwise, if we practice these things for many lifetimes, if we are not sadhiyam, if we are not careful in dealing with one another, if we are not respectful to one another, if we are offensive, then we can do all of these things, even though they're so potent, that we still won't get the result. So Prabhupada has given these things. Now it is up to us to follow them in the proper way. The process has been given, the highest process has been given by the highest acharya in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Srila Prabhupada has come to give the essence of Krishna Bhakti. As Jananivas has described, the essence, just chant the holy name, and beg the Lord, please accept me, please allow me to serve you, please somehow engage me. Right? Actually, of these five, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has asked Mahaprabhu which one is the best, and Mahaprabhu Bhakti Sadhan Shresth Sarva Kaila Man Prabhu Upadesha Kaila Nam Sankirtan. Nam Sankirtan, of all these five, that is the most potent. And the rest are supporting. Jiva Goswami has said, whatever activity we perform, whatever ritual we perform, whatever anga of bhakti we perform, it must begin and end with the chanting of the holy names. This is the most important of all the angas. So Prabhupada is stressing on these points. And someone who does that, he becomes, as Maharaj was explaining, completely internally absorbed, like in an ocean, and nothing can disturb him. And in the early 70s, Prabhupada was installing the Jagannath deities in Amsterdam temple. He was invited to come there. And devotees were very young and inexperienced and naive. They knew nothing about deity puja and what to speak of installation. They knew nothing. So Prabhupada came there and he saw that the whole place was disorganized. And he sat on the Vyasasan and he said, where is the fruits? Where are the flowers? Who's in charge here? Why are you taking care of Lord Jagannath? And the devotees came forward. They said, oh Prabhupada, he said, why, there's no fruits in the sacrificial kund? And the devotee said, yes, 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 I will bring. And he ran to the kitchen and he came back 10 minutes later with a big bowl of fruit salad, which was cut up. And he came to Prabhupada, he became more angry. Said, what? You bring fruit salad for Lord Jagannath, for the sacrifice? Said, who's the president here? Bring him here. And the whole room was filled with guests, parents, and there was five or six news reporters, there was television cameras, you know, filming the whole thing. The president came before Prabhupada, he was trembling. And Prabhupada blasted him right in front of the TV camera. Said, you're not qualified to be the temple president.
You've invited Lord Jagannath, and now you've neglected him.
Notice? President of Shank. Prabhupada became like Lord Nrisinghadev. And next to Prabhupada, there was one hippie guest with long hair. And he used to come to the temple. And the devotees used to tell him, when he would sometimes say something crazy or if he would become angry, they would say, just chant Hare Krishna. So the hippie looked at Prabhupada. He said, don't become angry, just chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada's eyes became big. He said, yes, you have given me the best advice all day. And he took his japa mala and started chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, So anyway, the process continued. They installed the deity, although they actually made the singhasan too small for Jagannath. So when they tried to bring the deity, it was too small. It couldn't squeeze him in there. So they had to take saws and... Right? The whole temple room was filled with gas. It was very hot. And the Brahmins were there with their sacrificial chatters, and they went behind there. They were sawing off the top. Then they put some cloth. Finally, they put Lord Jagannath. They carried out these big columns. And the TV cameras, they filmed it. It says, part of the sacrificial ceremony, the priests are carrying the columns, the sacrificial columns. So later, Prabhupada got in the car and he went to his apartment. The temple president came to apologize. He was feeling so bad. He came into Prabhupada's apartment. And he saw Prabhupada with a big grin from ear to ear. He was in ecstasy. And the president was surprised. He said, Prabhupada, just 15 minutes ago you were fuming with anger, and now you're in bliss. Prabhupada said, the devotee is deep like the ocean. Sometimes on the ocean there may be some slight agitation on the top. But if you go deep, then everything is peaceful. And the devotee said, yes. So this is the nature of Krishna consciousness as Jananivas Prabhu. He was mentioning, this is the nature. A person can feel Krishna. It's not just an intellectual thing. A devotee can feel Krishna. And he can know Krishna in full, free from doubt. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai. Shri Radha Gopinath ki. Jai. Shri Radhanath Swami Maharaj ki. Jai. Shri Jananivas Prabhu ki. Jai. Mother Urmila ki. Nitagura Pramanandi.
Purnachandra Prabhu ki. Let us chant.